ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
First, we're nearing the beginning of Kartik, so there's a sense of great anticipation in the air here in the Dom and all over the world for the hope of giving full attention to hearing and chanting about Krishna, and also it's the appearance, disappearance days of three of the great luminaries in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. And because there's a disappearance, we'll also sing the song Jaya Nila Premadhana. Whose disappearance day is it? All of them. It's all disappearance days. I don't know if we can handle that much. That's a lot in one day. This song is by Narottam Das Thakur. He says, who out of his vast compassion brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his treasure of divine love to this world by calling him with love and affection? Where has Advaita Acharya Thakur gone? Advaita Acharya was shouting so loudly that Narayana's throne was shaking. Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where are Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das Goswami, the savior of the fallen conditioned souls? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta Goswamis? Where is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? Where has Gauranga, the king of dancers, gone? Suddenly, all at once they left. Where have they gone? I shall dash my head upon a stone or enter into fire. Oh, where shall I find such a great treasure house of wonderful qualities as Gauranga? Where has he gone? All of them shared extremely beautiful, sweet pastimes with each other. Bereft of their association, Narottam Das weeps.
Jaya Nilo Primadana Karuna Prachu. Madana Karuna Prachu Jaya Nilo Primadana Karuna Prachu Gela Acharya Thakur Raghunatha Patita Pava Kahamura Bhatta Yuka Kaha Kavira Kakali tota gila gura natara
Kakali tota gila gura natara
Kakali tota gila gura natara Shane kutiba mata anale pashibo
Shane kutiba mata anale pashibo
Kalanga gunera nidhi kutta gile pabo Shishava Sangira Sange Jai Kailo Bila
Shishava Sangira Sange
Jai Kailo Bila Kande Naruta Muda Shishangana paya kande naruta muda
Shishangana paya kande naruta muda
Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur
Jaya Vaishnav Thakur
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada,
Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Nitai Gora Haribo,
Haribo, Haribo,
Daigo Premanande Haribo. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking with Ramananda Roy, he asked him many questions. And one of them was what the greatest suffering in the world is. And Ramananda Roy said, I know no other suffering except for separation from the Vaishnav. And this is our greatest fortune in life, the association of the Vaishnavs. And when the Vaishnavs are not with us, then we simply have to tolerate and suffer their separation. And when we remember the Vaishnavs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then we get great benefit just by thinking of their qualities, because they're known to be just like desire trees, also like touchstones. And by hearing about their qualities and the ways that they related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and their and various pastimes, then we also make advancement in devotional service. So in his song called Bhajan Gita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ajastra Smaro Smarare. Oh, remember, just always remember the Vaishnavas and all of those devotees who are in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's actually, as mentioned in the Shastra, that Parvati asks Lord Shiva,
what is the highest object of worship? And she said, Araradanam Sarvesham Vishnu Araradanam Param Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tariyanam Samarchana. So the highest worship is worship of Lord Vishnu. As Bhagavatam also says, that Bejare Muniotagre Bhagavantam Madhoksajam Satvam Vishudam Shemaya Kalpante Yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages focused their minds on Lord Vishnu because he's beyond the material creation, beyond the modes of material nature. They knew by keeping him as their object of worship and attention that they would attain the highest good in life. And then Shiva says to Parvati, but actually, even more worshipable than Krishna is what's dear to Krishna, known as Tadiya. And of all the Tadiya, those things in relationship with Krishna, the devotees are most dear. As Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that the devotees are more dear to me than my own self. And Krishna is always trying to serve his pure devotees, but the devotees don't like to take anything from the Supreme Lord. So when others serve the Supreme Lord, then Krishna becomes especially pleased with them. Excuse me, when others serve the devotees, Krishna becomes especially pleased with them because they're doing what he would like to do. This is one of the reasons that serving the devotees is so effective in pleasing Krishna, because Krishna wants to serve the devotees. They won't accept any service from Krishna. So if we're able to serve the devotees, then Krishna becomes very pleased with us. So Tadiyanam Samarchana. The highest worship is the worship of those things in relationship with Krishna, especially the devotees of the Lord, the Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ajastra Smara Smara Re. And then he sings this song named Bhajan Gita. He says, my dear mind, how foolish you are. Oh, just worship the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forests of Raj. Oh, without such worship, there's no means of spiritual advancement. Just worship the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forests of Raj. Oh, giving up all speculative knowledge and materialistic activities, just worship Gaura, Gadadhar, Advaita, and Lord Nityananda, the original spiritual master. Oh, knowing Lord Gaura and Lord Krishna to be the same. Oh, knowing the spiritual master to be very dear to Krishna. Just remember the dear associates of Lord Chaitanya, namely Shrivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda Datta. Oh, in deep love for Lord Gaura, you should remember, just remember. Just remember the two great personalities, Shrivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur. Just remember Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, Jiva, and the two Raghunaths. Oh, if you are engaged in worshipping Lord Krishna, just remember the two souls, Sri Rupa Goswami, two great souls, Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Just remember Raghava Pandit, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Ramananda Roy. Oh, if you really seek love of Krishna, just remember Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. Just remember Srila Kavi Karnapur and all his family members, especially his father, Shivananda Sain. Oh, always remember, Sri Kavi Karnapur and his family. Just remember all the sadhus who follow the path of Sri Rupa Goswami and who are absorbed in the ecstasy of bhajan. Oh, if you actually want residence in the land of Raja, just remember the sadhus who are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. Bhajare, Bhajare Amar. How are you going to all see the song? Manati Manda. Bhajare, Bhajare Amar. Manati Manda. Bhajare, Bhajare Amar. Manati Manda Bhajare Ama Manati Manda Bhajan Vinagati Nai Re Bhajan Vinagati Nai Re
Braja, Braja Bane, Radha Krishna, Charanara Vinda, Braja, Braja Bane,
Radha Krishna, Charanara Vinda,
Braja, Braja Bane, Radha Krishna, Charanara Vinda, Braja,
Braja Bane, Radha Krishna, Charanara Vinda,
Jnana Karma Padi Padi De,
Jnana Karma Padi Padi De,
Braja, Braja Bane, Radha Krishna,
Braja, Braja Bane, Radha
Braja Gaura Garadhara Dvaita Guru Nityananda Braja
Gaura Garadhara Guru Nityananda
Braja Gaura Garadhara Dvaita Guru Nityananda Braja Krishna Yavira Dhe Guru Krishna Preshka Dhe Nere
Guru Krishna Preshka Dhe Nere
Swara Srinivas Haridas Murari Mukunda Swara
Srinivasa Murari Mukunda
Swara Srinivasa Haridas Murari Mukunda
Swara Srinivasa Haridas Murari Mukunda
Gora Prema Smara Smara Re
Gora Prema Smara
Smara Srinivas Haridas Re Smara
Srinivas Haridas
Smara Rupa Sanatana Jiva Raghunatha Dvandva
Two Raghunas, Raghunatha Dvandva The two Raghunas
Raghunatha Dvandva
Smara Rupa Sanatana Jiva Raghunatha Dvandva Smara
Sanatana Jiva Raghunatha Dvandva
Bhajan Krishna Bhajan Jadi Kohe Re
Krishna Bhajan Jadi Kohe
Re Rupa Sanatane Smara
Rupa Sanatane Smara
Pararagava Gopala Bhakta Sarupramananda Smara Raghava Gopala Bhakta Sarupta Mananda Smara
Raghava Gopala Bhakta Sarupta Mananda
Krishna Premi Jari Chao Re
Krishna Premi Jari Chao Re
Svarupta Mananda Smara Smara Goshti Saha Kanapura Saint Shivananda Smara
Goshti Saha Kanapura Saint Shivananda
Smara Goshti Saha Kanapura
Saint Shivananda Smara. Sarujana Bhajana Ananda Smara
Sarujana
Sarujana Bhajana Ananda Bhajari chao re, Bhajari chao re, Uparuga saru smara, Uparuga saru smara, smara re,
Jnanatimarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam nena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Can I have that chair? Shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapidam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadahmayam dharati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvajutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada
Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashyata Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Vaishabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Pravade Namaha Madhuryojwala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakshidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virvava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasva Padambo Jau Radha Marana Mohanau Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumata Srimad Ratna Gara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Vrishtalibhi Sevya Manosmarami Srimad Rasarasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venusvanir Gopir Gopinata Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Go Premanande Hari Bol. Thank you. We'll see if we can take some lessons from the life and pastimes of the saints, of whose disappearance days we're celebrating today. And of course we say celebrating because when a Vaishnav leaves the world, we're celebrating that they've entered the Nitya Lila, or that they've gone elsewhere to spread Krishna consciousness. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavs die. For Vaishnavs die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. But remembering these great devotees, which is a miracle, because who would have known about Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami if Srila Prabhupada hadn't gone to the trouble to explain it and to bring out the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'm always struck in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the great detail that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes into in his descriptions of the places where these great souls had lived. In fact, his purports will describe how you get off at a certain train, turn left, there's a tree on the right, and then the places there. And when we go on pilgrimage to these places, we find such a charming environment, surcharged with spiritual power. They may seem very simple, but they're the ground zero of the Sankirtan movement. And wherever the pure devotees have been, they leave their dhulis. The dhulis are the personified foot dust of the devotees. If you can please the devotees by visiting these places or by preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, then the dhulis think of you favorably. Otherwise, if you make offenses to devotees, then the Shastra says that the dhulis will do you in. So, thinking about Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he tells his own story. And he says that Vaishnavas normally are reluctant to tell about their own stories. However, as it turns out, it's the best way to teach Krishna consciousness. And this is something that Gopakumar brings up in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita when he says the same thing, that I don't want to tell my story because it's not something I like to do, but I've discerned that it's the best way to teach the lessons of Krishna consciousness. I'm going to tell my disciple, he tells his disciple, about his lifestyle, or not his lifestyle, his life and the ways that he was saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kaviraj Goswami says a similar thing, and then he tells how he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Kaviraj Goswami had a brother, and his brother had a festival at his house. And he had invited Minikatana Ramdas, who was known as a devotee of Lord Nityananda. In fact, he was a very joyful personality, as many of Nityananda Prabhu's followers were, because they're from the cowherd section of the spiritual world. And as Nityananda Prabhu is an avaduta, similarly his followers were like that also. And Minikatana Ramdas would express his ecstasy that when some people would come and offer their obeisances to the deities, he would climb on their backs sometimes in ecstasy, and sometimes he would hit them with his flute. And he was always calling out the names of Lord Nityananda in ecstasy. And Kaviraj Goswami's brother had a pujari named Gunardhava Mishra. And Gunardhava Mishra didn't care very much for Minikatana Ramdas. And the reason was because, although he considered that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't think much of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was an enigmatic personality, so much so that when the devotees first met him, Lord Nityananda had come to join with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Lord Chaitanya had a dream that he had seen a chariot come, the sign of a palm leaf, palm tree, Lord Nityananda's sign, ensign. And Lord Nityananda, when he sensed that, although he was on pilgrimage far, far away, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beginning his Sankirtan movement, he let out a great roar, so much so that everyone was stunned. They thought the end of the universe was coming, the roar was so loud. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this dream, the next day, Lord Nityananda showed up amongst the devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Although the devotees thought, who is this mad person? Because although he had lost his mind in Krishna consciousness, he had not lost his senses. In other words, he was completely sense-controlled. But his mind was gone in love of God. This is the nature of Lord Nityananda. And in such a way, he's all merciful to the conditioned souls. He had no other consideration in the world except for giving mercy to others. But as an avaduta, he was very hard to understand. And one day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sensed this, and that was when Nityananda had showed up only with his loincloth, and everyone was thinking, like, who is this mad person? He's your brother? He's your friend? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, give me his kulpan. And he tore it into little pieces. He said, now you wear this around your head, just to indicate to them the power of Lord Nityananda. But although you may appear like a mad person, but just by coming in contact with him by a little thread, he said, you'll also become sense-controlled. You'll become the greatest of Goswamis by his mercy. Nonetheless, there were many people who did not understand Lord Nityananda. And one of them was Gunardhava Mishra. Kaviraj Goswami explains that this is, or Prabhupada in his purport, that this is a half-hand logic. You have a hand and you say, I like the part that gives the eggs, but I don't like the upper part that I have to feed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are actually one, but they manifest separately for their pastimes, and just as Krishna and Balaram do. So accepting one but not the other is a great offense. And Minikatana Ramdas could understand that Gunardhava Mishra had disrespected him. And the reason he understood that he knew that he had disrespected him because he was a devotee of Lord Nityananda. And by showing disrespect to him, he was showing disrespect to Lord Nityananda. And unfortunately, Kaviraj Goswami's brother had also sided with Gunardhava Mishra. And there were some harsh words that were spoken between Kaviraj Goswami and his brother. And at that time, Minikatana Ramdas, sensing that there was an offense to Lord Nityananda in his midst, he became angry and he broke his flute and then he went away. And very starkly, in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami describes how at that time my brother fell down. So this is the danger of committing Vaishnava Aparadha. It is something we'll learn when we talk about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was son of Tapana Mishra. Tapana Mishra had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in a state of confusion because he had read so many books, he was confused about the path in life. And he had a dream one night. A brahmana had come to him and said, there's a great personality, Nimai Pandit, who's coming to East Bengal. And he said, you go and meet him, and he will teach you the proper process to reach the goal of life. So when he awoke from his dream, he went out and he found Nimai Pandit, who just happened to be visiting East Bengal at that time with his disciples. And he offered his dandavat obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked him, what is my duty in life? It seems confusing. There are so many different conflicting philosophies. It's mentioned there, one should not become a bookworm. I read too many books. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't let his disciples have a library in their rooms. And he was very selective about what they could study. Because actually, if we go deeply within the Shastra, like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, there's no end to it. It's not that we have to go so wide. It's not that you have to go to Rasa Bihari Lal's. No offense. I know he watches my... I'm just kidding. But there's so many books to be published, and of course, trying to study all of them for the sake of becoming a known as a great orator is illegal. And so Rupa Goswami even includes verses in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one should not become a bookworm. So Tapana Mishra had been confused because of becoming a bookworm. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, form of Nimai Pandit, told him what he should do, and that is you should chant Hare Krishna constantly. As everything is there within the holy name. By the process of chanting Hare Krishna, one comes directly in contact with Krishna and comes to know everything. Yomam eva masamhudo janati purushottamam sasarvabid vajadimam sarvabhavi nabharata. One who knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God is the knower of everything. What to speak of one who knows that Krishna and his name are not different, and that's the way he knows Krishna. So Tapana Mishra surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then of course was ready for some order, and he told him that you should go to Varanasi. But this is a great conundrum to the devotees, because they're thinking he just surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now he sent him to a Mayavadi city. He's all alone with the Mayavadis. But this is also such a beautiful pastime, because we see that later on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there with a very specific mission. It was to liberate Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadis. And he stayed at Tapana Mishra's house. And he was a part of that glorious pastime. In any case, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was the son of Tapana Mishra. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had stayed in the home of Tapana Mishra, Raghunath Bhatta had served prasadam to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He'd also washed his plates, did menial service for him as a child. And when he grew up, he spent 8 months with him in Jagannath Puri. He received from him gifts of some betel nuts that had been offered to the Lord, along with a beautiful Tulsi garland that was 8 cubits long. And he kept those treasured items. Can you imagine having something of Lord Chaitanya's? For a while there were some threads available from one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gumshas. I remember there was an argument that was going on between two Prabhupada disciples who were avid collectors of Prabhupada's personal paraphernalia. One of them lived in Los Angeles and the other one was our very own Guru Kripa Prabhu, who has so many artifacts because he was a close associate of Srila Prabhupada. He has Prabhupada's personal service loda that he brought across on the Jaladuta. When you go to his house, we used to sit there, we'd keep it on our head, drink water from it. It's very beautiful. But he has all kinds of other stuff too. I think he gave them all to the museum here in Vrindavan. But at that time, there was an argument about who had more things, who had more items. Back and forth they were arguing, so finally Guru Kripa said, "Yeah, what do you got of Lord Chaitanya's?" He happened to have a tiny little thread that had come from a gumsha from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So getting some paraphernalia from the Supreme Personality of God, it is as good as getting the darshan of the Supreme Personality of God, and that also comes up in the pastime with King Prataparudra. When he had wanted to have the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu refused it because he didn't want to ruin his reputation and become contaminated by associating with a king. Then there was an idea that give him one of your outer garments. And when he did, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the garment through one of his associates, I think it was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to King Prataparudra, and then Prataparudra Maharaj worshipped it just like as he was worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This goes back to the idea of tadiya, those things which were used by the Supreme Personality of God that are worshipable. So one can keep such paraphernalia and worship it. And so Tapana Mishra, in his house, Raghunath Das Goswami, he had grown up, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ordered him to never get married. He said, "You never get married, you stay a brahmachari your whole life." And he had he was famous, was Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, for his recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He would recite every verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam in three melodious tunes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually sent him to Vrindavan to be under the care of Srila Rupa Goswami. And his service was to recite Srimad Bhagavatam to Srila Rupa Goswami in these beautiful tunes. And one of the lessons we can take away from the life of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was his avoidance of criticizing Vaishnavas. This is an unusual principle. Oftentimes people say, well, yeah, but I have to because blah, blah, blah. There's so many reasons. Yeah, but he had an absolute policy, unchangeable policy, that he wouldn't criticize Vaishnavas for any reason. And he considered that if they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're Vaishnavas, and therefore it didn't matter if they're high or low or whatever else they did, he just wouldn't criticize them. So this is something that that is available for everyone. Anyone who wishes can sign up for this program as well. There's no bar. Anyone can decide that I won't criticize Vaishnavas and just stick to that policy, following in the footsteps of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is one of the six Goswamis, and we remember him and his other associates, and we remember the way he dedicated his life to Bhagavatam. That's the other lesson. It's just by reciting Bhagavatam, if one dedicates one's life to the Bhagavatam, get a PhD in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a lot of things you get a PhD in, and mostly people, I just visited a friend of my father's. He actually was a student of my father's in the PhD program at San Francisco State University. He ran for many years a very popular public speaking training center in Silicon Valley. So I went to visit him, took him some prasad, stuff like that, because he really liked my father. And I had a couple questions for him about networking in Silicon Valley and things like that. And he gave me a copy of his thesis that he had written under my father at the university. And then I was looking through it, and I was remembering how obscure many of the thesis projects are. I mean, you simply pick something and write a thesis on it when you get to that point. If you're studying physics, if you're studying business, any of these things, you most likely these professors like you to pick something that nobody else has done before. It's usually off the beaten path. And it's really just seeing if you can put it all together, and may not be that meaningful, ultimately, to the world. Sometimes it is, but not usually not. However, if one gets a PhD in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even if you don't finish your thesis paper, you'll get the greatest benefit. And there's only a few people in the world that actually go deeply within the Bhagavatam, that when they do, they become a great asset to human society. Look at these two sadhus sitting here listening to this. So that's two lessons we can take from Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Dedicate your life to the Srimad Bhagavatam and learn how to sing it beautifully, and know the Bhagavatam. Feel free to go deeply within the Bhagavatam. Read 41 pages or as many as you like every day for the rest of your life. You'll be famous also. He read 41 pages a day for his whole life, starting when he was a young lad. And also, be known for not criticizing Vaishnavas. We can take that lesson from Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. It's something that people actually notice, that you avoid it, you pull back from that. And we'll notice it ourselves when we resist it, because there's something within the tongue that wants to fire off some criticism, or at least some damnation by faint praise. When something good comes up about someone else, there's a way that it's easy enough not to criticize, but just to say something that will take a little bit off the glories of that person. That tendency is there within the heart until one becomes purified in that tendency to criticize others because one feels envious or jealous is always there. Kaviraj Goswami, when he heard the blasphemy of Nidhikatana Ramdas and therefore of Lord Nityananda, he left home. He was very disturbed. He went to sleep that night, and he had chastised his brother before he left. And that night in a dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to him. There's a description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how beautiful he was. And he told Kaviraj Goswami, he says, he indicated, go to Vrindavan. He pointed the way. And he said, go there and you'll, because there you will attain all things by going to Vrindavan. So Kaviraj Goswami immediately awoke and immediately left for Vrindavan and went there. And of course he became an instrument for the Lord to write the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even in his invalidity, he had shaking hands, he could barely see, it was very difficult for him to even move. He didn't know if he would live even one more second, but he went on writing the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, empowered activity, revealing to the world the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada brought it out to the world. Amazingly, you know, he had that marathon to have it, all the books printed. One of the reasons was because at the same time there was a professor at University of Chicago named Dimmock. He was a scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but he didn't have a clue what Gaudiya Vaishnavism actually was, and his ideas were way off. Not only that, even offensive. So Prabhupada wanted to bring out his Chaitanya Charitamrita before Professor Dimmock's, because he knew that Dimmock was going to come out with his. And that's one of the reasons that he pushed the devotees into that marathon and had them print 17 volumes in 2 months, which was literally impossible. But Prabhupada said, impossible is a word used in a fool's dictionary. So when Kaviraj Goswami got the opportunity, he chastised his brother and for his blasphemy of Lord Nityananda. And this was very much appreciated by Lord Nityananda, that he didn't tolerate, and then he went away. And he blessed him, and he brought him to Vrindavan, and he empowered him to write the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Raghunath Das Goswami is famous for, as a young boy, becoming attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and trying to run away from home to join the Krishna consciousness movement. And interestingly, of course, his family was very pious by normal standards. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, they're like a pit, and they're living in a pit like where people pass stool. Because although they were pious, although they worshipped Krishna, they were attached materially. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers are known to mean as Kinchana. And Raghunath Das Goswami, although he grew up in such opulence, and although his parents did everything to try to keep him home, including marrying him to a girl who was as beautiful as an apsara, he would sleep outside the house even after he got married because he was so renounced. And he tried to run away many times. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally told him, he said, don't be like a crazy person. You should stay and act like a normal son, a materialistic person, and when you have the opportunity, then go away. It's something I've noticed, that it's always best to wait till the right opportunity comes along. There are many inconveniences in life. There are many periods of life where one may feel like one's not doing devotional service to one's full potential. But in those cases, one has to keep the desire burning within one's heart and do whatever one can at that time. Don't fail to do whatever you can do just because you can't do everything you want to do. And if you do that and bide your time and keep the right intention within your heart, then Krishna will make an arrangement so that you can do everything or give you more service than you could have imagined when the time is right. So we see that in the lifetime of Raghunath Das Goswami, that he followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to pretend that he was going along with the family and actually just cool down a little bit and wait till the opportunity came. So that's a good lesson from Raghunath Das Goswami. And then by degrees, that's another thing, he became more and more absorbed and renounced. Because in the beginning, when he went to Jagannath Puri, he was on regular excursions. He was taking money from his father, he was very wealthy, and he was feeding the Vaishnavas. And then gradually he stopped doing that because he didn't want to take money from materialistic people. He started begging in front of the Simhadwar gate. And then he felt like a prostitute. In fact, it's said there, if people who were asked to give to beggars knew how hard it was to beg, they'd always give. And if people who were beggars knew how hard it was to give, they would never beg. It's a tough profession. But he was begging there and he felt like he was a prostitute because he was thinking in his mind, this person might give, that person gave last time and so forth. Interesting on book distribution that oftentimes the mind makes all kinds of suppositions. This person's going to take a book, this person isn't. But I found, last time I was in New York and we were doing Sankirtan on the street, it was kind of overwhelming because we were trying to organize 65 devotees at the same time. It was our first time. Some people didn't show up when they were supposed to with certain things that we needed. So there was a lot going on. Plus I was trying to talk to people on the street of New York. And that's always a little bit challenging because it's a little fast-paced there. And then I just made a resolution in my mind that I'm going to talk to everybody. I didn't care who it was, and I was going to be equal to every person without judging them or feeling any a fear of approaching any person and just treat everybody exactly equally. And as soon as I did that, I felt peace. And also, I was in a flow. So there's a way that we should, what was from Raghunath Das? How did I come to that conclusion? What? Oh yeah, he was begging. So then he gave up begging. And he would go and take whatever, when the prasadam, the remnants that people wouldn't eat were washed from their plates, would go down a trough. The cows would eat it then. But there were certain parts the cows wouldn't eat. So it's the last in the food chain. And he would take the bits of rice that were already spoiled, and then he would wash them and take off the spoiled part, so it was just like the inner part, and he would eat that. Meek and humble. And actually, one day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar came there, they saw what he was taking. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, you're keeping this nectar to yourself." And he snatched some of that rice. So Raghunath Das Goswami, lessons about biding one's time and also being meek and humble, and by degrees becoming more and more situated in pure devotional service. Now let's have some more reflections or any additions to the katha about these great souls. Yes?
Should I ask questions later? Or just
go ahead, whatever you like.
One thing, I have two questions. One I was wondering is that instruction that was given to Raghunath Das Goswami, right, to act with his family as a materialistic person. Is that correct?
Well, is it more that he said just go back and act like a normal person? Don't be like a crazy fellow, but fit in. Just fit into what they want you to do until the time comes.
So they didn't say specifically like materialistic person or anything like that?
Not necessarily. It's just by implication, you know.
Okay. And another question was, in the song, we see that Narottam Das Thakur is really lamenting the loss of the association of all these great souls. And we hear repeatedly over and over again in our Siddhanta that Vani is the more intimate association. It's the more intimate association, more intimate than Vapu. And of course we lament the loss of the Vapu, but at the same time, isn't it true that ultimately nothing is lost from the loss of the Vapu because the more intimate connection is there with the Vani?
We can never say nothing is lost. Because there's something very special about having the Vapu. For instance, even now, so many people second guess what Prabhupada meant. I mean, just from a practical point of view. Prabhupada said, everything's there in my books. But then he said many things and people second guess, did he mean this or did he mean that? And we often think, oh, if Prabhupada was just here, we could go and ask him. And between every instruction, there's 100 questions, 1,000 questions. But besides that, just the feeling that the Acharya is there with us is very, it's very bracing, or I should say, it gives us great strength in devotional service, that the great Acharya, the leader, is there. Then we feel bolstered, you know, that the leader is there. I mean, when Prabhupada was on the planet, then we had the sense that everything was okay. He was overseeing everything, and it would all be resolved, anything that came up, by Prabhupada's mercy. And of course, when he left, there was a great vacuum. This happens often when a great personality leaves, there's a vacuum that's left behind. And those who are left behind, they feel lost for some time. This is partly to glorify the great souls. So the Tirubhav is actually an important thing. When the Acharya comes, he gives so much light through instruction and personal example. But in the Tirubhav means that he disappears from our vision. No longer the Vapu is available and you can't ask him any further questions. He's not available. So at that time, Shastra says it's a test for us to take up the Vani. How well have you learned to take up the Vani and actually follow it? And ultimately, that's how one will be successful. Prabhupada writes in the Adi Lila, first chapter, in the section Kaviraj Goswami speaks about the Guru and how, in the absence of the spiritual master, the instruction of the spiritual master becomes the life and soul of the disciple. Besides that, Vaishnavas, they're so unusual and beautiful that you just want to go see them. Just looking at them purifies the eyes. When you see the features of a Vaishnav who's fully surrendered to Krishna, you just can't take your eyes off them. You just want to look at them, you want to take them home, just keep them, you know, serve them. And there's all that can be done when they're personally there. More reflections?
Thank you, Guru. I was just thinking that just hearing and looking at the lives of all the Goswamis in our line and all the three personalities he spoke, we see that in various pastimes of the Lord, that when these liberated associates of the Lord come down, you know, their primary purpose is to attract the souls so they can go back to the spiritual world. And in the process of doing so, we see that you know, many of these saints have also initiated many disciples and have had many disciples. But seemingly in the lives of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, or Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, you don't so much hear about their direct disciples as much as like when the life of, you know, Narottam Das Thakur took shiksha from Jiva Goswami and then preached all over many places in Bengal and south of India and converted villages into devotees. But how about the direct disciples of all these Goswamis? We don't hear so much. Were they not initiating, or their mood was just to give literature so that others in time will initiate?
The spreading of Krishna consciousness has many different aspects. One of those aspects is initiation, giving diksha. Certain people are in a good position to do that at different times for various reasons, culturally or because of a great necessity for them to do so, certain circumstances, but it's not the only or the main means through which the movement expands. It's one of the ways that's necessary. So oftentimes, great souls don't invest that much into giving diksha to many, many disciples. But they have other duties to do. For instance, the Goswamis are noted, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Shadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane. Their interest was in saving the world through giving the conclusion of the Shastra to point everybody to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, if they hadn't done that, then where would we be now? And it's a little bit foggy about the various diksha relationships, you know, with the Goswamis and so forth. But it's very clear that there was a lot of a sharing. It was like a family. I always like to say it takes a family to raise a devotee, Krishna consciousness, and not just Diksha Guru, but also the Shiksha Gurus have to be there. And that there has to be a network of people to support everybody, one person coming up from all different sides.
I really like that point you said about Raghunath Bhakta Goswami, that he just gave up. At one point he said, okay, I'm not going to criticize the devotees anymore. And he stuck with that, and you said that that's actually still available, that program is still available. You can say, okay, I'm not going to criticize devotees, and stick with that principle. And, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a little form you can fill out. And you sign it at the bottom and just say, that's it.
Maharaj, I have the same point about criticizing devotees. You said that anyone can sign the policy and decide not to criticize, but when it comes to practically applying it, sometimes it's very hard. You have some close devotee friend who's kind of saying something about someone, and just for the sake of empathizing, you know, sometimes I tend to like just support it. So maybe some more practical tips actually apply.
That would be a good small book or something, right? 108 ways not to criticize devotees. Well, you're talking, there's situations socially where people might start saying things about devotees, and then because you want to not be rude and just sort of say, oh yeah, I know what you mean, or something like that. Well, I do know that, as I mentioned, when devotees decide that they will avoid it, it becomes noticeable. And that's one of the reasons, because it often in social circles it can come up. And, you know, amongst a few devotees, they might start saying something about a devotee, and then if you're sitting there, it'd be kind of awkward to get up and walk out, or to say, you know, I don't want to talk about this. But I do know people who do that. I knew Jayananda Prabhu because he was my bhakta leader when I first joined in San Francisco. And he was known for that, that he would just disappear as soon as the criticism would start. Where'd he go? It's like everyone knew he left because he'd want to hang around for that. One practical tip is, as soon as that happens, you can just grab your phone, like it was on vibrate and it just went off, and just walk out. I learned that trick on Sankirtan because this guy in front of, we were in front of Walmart or something like that, and this guy came along. He was friendly enough, but too friendly. He just kept talking and talking and talking. The devotees were looking at me, and I tapped my phone, and they called me, the same devotees I was working with, and I said, I got to go. And then I realized no one had to call. I could do it any time and just pick up my, I got to go, sorry, and just walk out. And you know, you can develop that. Try it a couple times and see what happens. It doesn't, you know, ruin you. Or you can always change the subject and find the positive thing. Of course, you know, sometimes for effect, there's some it mentioned in the Shastra that the this is in a purport and commentary from our Acharya, is that if somebody somewhere is violating Siddhanta. You know, we know Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancha Triki Vinimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktira Pataya Vikalpate. If people aren't following the Shruti Smriti Pancharatrik process properly, then they cause a disturbance to the Vaishnav society. And our Acharyas have mentioned that this can be pointed out. But you have to be careful when you do it not to make ad hominem remarks. Ad hominem means personal. Don't bring it to a personal level. You can point out which part of the philosophy is amiss and give Shastric reference for it. And that's not giving a personal critique of somebody or ascribing intention to them that they meant to be bad or whatever, but just saying that this doesn't jive with what the Shastra says and so forth. And this is also in a category of non-criticism. It means being very careful and precise about how you make your points. It's also called non-violent communication. And Prabhupada pointed out when devotees first came to India and people were asking them, what do you think of this Swami? What do you think of that Swami? Prabhupada said, never address the Swami individually, but just say, what is his philosophy? And then assail the philosophy and not the person. So there's a lot of subtle ways in which you can intellectually avoid going into just ad hominem criticism and finding that vein in your heart where, you know, there's, oh yeah, let's pile on because, you know, the person deserves it anyway. So that's another way of avoiding criticism. Or you can just do what Raghunath Bhatta Goswami did and just avoid it altogether. Save a lot of trouble. Sometimes those in positions of management have to be discriminating and point out certain things. It's not necessarily criticism. But also, it's for the benefit of the person and the rest of the society, they have to do that duty. But carefully so. You're welcome. Any other things? Kavi Prabhu, would you like to make comments? Yes.
I didn't know the song that you sang today. I never heard about the song. But it's amazing how we can get into the state of mind or the consciousness of that love for the Vaishnava. Yeah. And how we represent an inhabitant of the spiritual world when we are actually contacting the will through them. That is the first thing that was special to me.
Thank you very much. You mean Bajare Bajare Ama? That song many years ago, I think it was about 20 years ago, I was walking around Govardhan Hill early in the morning and I heard somebody singing that in the dark. I was right past Anior because I had left really early and I heard some Vaishnava singing that song, but it was such heart that my hair was standing on end. So I got up close to them and I was walking behind them, I was just listening, and I wrote down a few of the lines so I could find it later, like, what is that bhajan? And then I found it, but it had special meaning to me because of that incident. And that Vaishnava scene was with such love, you know, like really relishing the Vaishnavas. And then we started singing at my house when we were having programs, and the devotees would go wild. And I always thought, it's so joyful singing the names of the Vaishnavas and remembering them. Whenever we start singing that song, the devotees just start bouncing off the walls and being really happy about hearing about the names of the devotees. I think those are the bhajans. When you have some experience where it leaves an indelible mark, you hear it in a certain context, somebody sings it in such a way it really moves you or touches you or something like that, and then that bhajan especially opens up the window for that connection to the dham or to the devotee who sang it, you know, with such feeling. And that those bhajans are so, they lend themselves, I mean, to soaking in so much of that feeling. It's like windows to the spiritual world. Okay, kids, you listened so carefully today. Are there any things that you heard that you can remember from anything that was said, or any impressions you had from any of the songs or anything that happened, or prasadam time?
You can hear the song.
Any thoughts you have about anything you heard? What did you hear? Anything?
Of the Goswamis.
Yeah?
I heard the 6 Goswamis of Rupa Goswami.
Yeah, nice. Talking about the Goswamis. Call a friend. Nice. Yes.
I was appreciating how you brought out that in Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's pastime, his experience with his brother, the Niniketana Ramdas, because of his purity, could understand that his being neglected wasn't about him, it was actually it was a way of disrespecting Lord Ananda. And so that disturbed him. I was just appreciating that one cannot necessarily always understand the intentions of another person, but if one is very pure, perhaps they can. And then because of the way that Vaishnavas have love for each other and for the gurus and for Krishna, then they don't take things personally for themselves, but they're very careful to see that, you know, that the society is respected and Vaishnavas are respected and the guru and Krishna is respected. So you actually broke his flute left in a huff, and you know, Kaviraj Goswami was like, yeah, he's right to do that, you shouldn't be disrespecting him. And the whole thing, and his brother fell down. I was really appreciating that, you know, this etiquette is, you know, how the Vaishnavas represent each other. There's a way in which others are disrespected, it hurts more than if one's disrespecting himself.
Yeah, those are good points.
Hare Krishna, thank you for that point also. I wouldn't like to talk of any person, individual, but now there are so many camps. And I was invited and I had to go to one place where there was a home opening. And there was a group of Vaishnavas who were singing, but it just felt very strange there. It just didn't feel right there. And later I came to know that they were criticizing our parampara. That has been also very currently going on in Vrindavan, to get this non-devotees to other circles. And the way they start with is bringing the faith in the Guru Parampara. That's the start, because that's the root, and that's how they break it. I mean, they start with that. So So this point, as Prabhupada and you also mentioned, that Viniketan now could sense that. Both of this is actually disrespect to Sri Nityananda. So also, in this day and age, especially, you have to be more careful about, you know, disrespect to Srila Prabhupada and his sincere followers. That may be there somewhere, and we need to be careful about that.
Yeah. The material world has many pitfalls, and even as we're practicing Krishna consciousness here, we have to fortify ourselves, especially through becoming knowledgeable in the Shastra. A Shastra Sunipana means we have to know how it all fits together and connects. And we also have to have our own powerful realization. This is the ultimate pramanam, is to see for oneself that the holy name and Krishna are non-different. And this is important because there are ways in which people have their own agendas, and if we don't frame our agenda very carefully and stick to it carefully, then we can be disturbed by other agendas, by people who forcibly present an agenda and so forth. If one isn't competent to stand up and defend the sampradaya or one's guru or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then one shouldn't stay and listen to such things or stay in the association. There are many instructions in that way because of the fact that there are various retrograde influences in the world. We, along with practicing Krishna consciousness, have to be careful of those and keep a fence around our bhakti to protect ourselves from that. I've noticed that if because of the force of circumstances I hear criticism of a particular devotee, then I just lose a little bit of ability to appreciate that devotee the way I did before. Of course, oftentimes it has to do with some sensual weakness. And then we have Krishna's words in the Gita, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhakta, to fall back on. And therefore we can understand that such a person, because they have this firm faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and their intention is to surrender Him, they just happen to be sensually weak. We can take Krishna's words that sadhu reva samantavya, they're a sadhu. You keep that, the other part. But if somehow or other they're philosophically deviate from the process, of course, we should know about that, because it might be an indication that we may not be as open in associating in a certain way. So we do have to be sensitive and keep our radar on to find our way through the morass, because there are a lot of different influences. Yeah.
I was also appreciating much about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that, and all the acharyas who also, not long ago, but just a few hundred years ago, lived in Vrindavan, and I'm sure they also had similar groups and parties with people all over Vrindavan even at that time, because the Kali descended long ago. But even then, they were so focused on not criticizing, and such display of humility was there. I'm just remembering Krishnadas Goswami's, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's pastime, that, you know, he felt so unqualified to actually glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and write Chaitanya Charitamrita. And only after the blessings of senior Vaishnavas and Mother Mohan that, you know, he had the inspiration to actually give that work. So I was just thinking that, just looking at the attitude of these individuals or Mahatmas who had this wonderful quality of not criticizing, they've given the best thing to the world. So like Chaitanya Charitamrita is for the topmost literature one can ever have in the world today. And that comes out of the humility of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So this one quality, I was just thinking of not criticizing, and on the other side having a humility, can really take one far in devotional service.
Nice points. And I also like
the point that you brought up is another lesson about how when one takes up some service, that it's important to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. One should seek them out, because it's a long haul. Once one takes a service, especially taking care of other devotees, or doing some service like writing Shastra, it's an empowered activity. And unless you get the blessings of the Vaishnavas, then that can become a very dicey situation later on. And one can always, in times when those services become challenging, remember those blessings. They go a long way to give us strength as we're moving forward. So this, the etiquette, Prabhupada went to Advaitacharya's place and asked for empowerment to spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Kaviraj Goswami, and went to get blessings to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We find that this is a common practice. It's something that we should do regularly, ask for that kind of help.
I was wondering regarding if there's devotees who are acting out of conduct, not philosophically anything necessarily incorrect, but out of acting out of conduct, and there's no apparent authority that's an intimate association enough with them to be able to address those conduct discrepancies in a way which is relative to their situation, or is not there to address those kind of situations. So one doesn't want to be critical and be a jerk. At the same time, nobody is there to point out the conduct of this devotee is sometimes maybe even one may see another person being rude to other devotees, or they may see just something in their conduct which is a problem in their association with other devotees. And so how does one deal with that?
It's always better to take it to your upline. If there's not an immediate upline available to help you, then find another one. Because dealing with it on a one-to-one basis, unless you have some protocol for doing that, can be difficult. Or, if you have communication with them, you can express it to them. There's no immediate authority, then you should find another one that you can contact.
And if that fails, then
find another one. Well, yeah, I mean, we should always be open to communication. In any ashram or family or community, it's really important to establish protocol for communication. That is, you have an agreement about how you deal with differences, because differences will come up. For instance, at ISV, we have a written statement that tells how we deal with conflict between devotees. Here's what we've all agreed upon, how we deal with it, step by step. Brajabihari Prabhu came and helped us to develop that by consensus with all the devotees. How do we deal with certain circumstances? And in a community, these kinds of things are necessary because they'll obviously come up because of the differences between the individuals. So if you do it preemptively and develop this idea of how to deal with it when it does come up, then there'll be some recourse. Otherwise, if you have to deal with it on your own, it becomes a little bit unwieldy. Even for the authority, it's important to have some consensus and protocol, because otherwise you may deal with one person this way and another person another way at another time, and it may seem unjust. Gopremanande Haribo, Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami Ki Jai, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami Ki Jai, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Panchakalpadrubhishcha kripasindabhivacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Thank you for having us in your beautiful ashram, for the wonderful prasadam, and we will never forget this holy day that we were able to come here and have this program. It's been really touching getting to know you and seeing your house. You too, Giridharsh. Thank you.
Marman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.